Guys, we've been in Daniel, right? We've been in Daniel. It's been a great time. And this week, we're engaging in Daniel chapter 9. Our series is called Daniel, an Extraordinary Spirit. But before we get there, I had an eye-opening experience last week. Very eye-opening. I went to Modern Mission with the youth group. Whoo! Man, I'm telling you, I see a 45-year-old man running around with teenagers trying to shoot them. That's crazy. That's crazy. I don't want to admit this, but I am so out of shape that when I got home, I literally broke out in hives. That's embarrassing. I need to get to the gym, like, immediately. It's crazy. If you don't know what Modern Mission is, it's a laser tag arena, all right? So where's my blue team? Blue team? Come on, let's hear you, blue team. Blue team? Hey, you're not on the blue team. Let's hear the red team. Where's my red team? Come on. You guys, let's go. That's it. They weren't that quiet at Modern Mission. They were like yelling and screaming. It was crazy. Blue team, yeah. Red team, okay. Well, it was a little strenuous. By the time I was done playing laser tag with our youth group, I realized I'm older than I thought I was. That's true. Crawling around on my hands and knees, trying to kill the blue team, but we were never successful in that endeavor. I was just targeting practice for you guys. Huh, yeah. That's why they wanted me to come. We had a lot of fun, but at Modern Mission, if you'll indulge me for just a minute, you play all sorts of different games, okay? A couple of the games are about one thing. They are about holding your ground. And in one of the games, there are these two hidden cylinders. You got to go find them. That's why I brought this. This is my best shot at a cylinder, okay? So imagine a cylinder, and you have to go around, you have to find these things, and then you have to shoot the little target, and it will change color to your team, okay? But then once you find that thing, you have to protect that thing, and that's the whole game. Protect it. Get as many points as you can, and at the end of the time, whoever has protected it the most is the winner of that game. Inevitably, as you're waiting and protecting, and there's an onslaught of enemy coming at you, right? You are going to lose your life. You just are. So you got to have enough people protecting that thing. But here's what happens when you die in Modern Mission, okay? It's kind of a lot of fun to die in Modern Mission. In Modern Mission, you go back to the start. You go back to home base. And you refresh, and you reload, and you point your little gun at this little panel with a light in it, and you push this little button, and you come back to life again. Yes! And then you go kill the blue team. No, I never was able to do that. I'm not really sure why this is so motivating. It really is motivating for me. I played so hard, but I just came out exhausted, trying to protect these little cylinders, you know? Just so exhausted. And, I think that probably the main reason is that there's this clock. They start this clock, and the clock is ticking, right? And you have like 7 or 8 minutes or whatever they set it to, and that's the time you get. And they say go, and you just have to go, and you don't have any time to waste. No time to waste. You just attack. Now, I was thinking about this all week because, you know, the Lord just speaks to me through these different kinds of things. And let's think for a minute about how Paul describes our Christian faith in Ephesians. Okay, I'm just going to read this for you. He says, be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. All right, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, right? Sounds like a battle is going on in our lives. For our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He says it again. Therefore, put on your armor so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. You have to protect what you have. That is what Paul is telling us. And after you've done everything, he says, the goal is to stand. It is to stay standing. He describes being in the middle of a struggle, being surrounded by the enemy, yet standing your ground. Part of our objective as a Christian is to simply stand our ground. And we find ourselves in the middle of a secular culture whose values blow in the wind in whatever direction is popular. But we're called to protect our faith. And you know, half the battle in life is finding your faith, right? And then the battle becomes keeping your faith, protecting your faith after you've found it. It's a clear and simple objective that Paul gives us, but not always the easiest mission to live out. Now, we've been in our series on Daniel, and here's what I really love about Daniel and what attracted me to this, to studying his life. It was this very thing, that he was forced to live his entire life surrounded by pressure, all the time pressure, by this ever-changing culture that he was thrust into. It was a constant battle for Daniel just to be Daniel. So my question for us today is, how does Daniel stay on mission? How does Daniel hold his ground? And so we're going to look at that today in Daniel chapter 9. Let's pick it up in verse 1. It says this: in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. The first thing Daniel did in order to protect his faith, in order to stay on mission, was he sought to gain understanding by returning to God's word. And that's what we need to do. Continue to return to God's word. Because this was the first year of Darius, it means that Babylon had now been overtaken. It had fallen. And everything Daniel knew changed again. New leadership came. New expectations came. And all the while in Daniel's life, we've seen Daniel summoned, right, by king after king to deliver these astounding revelations from God. But this time, how does he stay on mission? He goes back to home base. He goes back to the word of the Lord. And Daniel learned in these challenging times, not from an angel in heaven here, not from visions and dreams here, but from scripture itself, according to God's word given to Jeremiah. Well, somehow, Daniel had in his possession the word of God. How did he get a copy? Right? I'm not sure that Moses and the prophets were bestsellers in Babylon. How did he get this? I can tell you exactly how he got this. Daniel had in his possession a letter from Jeremiah. How do I know this? Because we have the letter in our possession too. It's been preserved for us in Jeremiah chapter 29. And so let's read a little bit from that letter that Daniel had in his possession during this challenging time. Jeremiah 29, verse 1, it says this. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So Daniel had this in his possession. Here's how it opens. Starting verse 4, Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. See, even in captivity, we still have to obey the Lord. And Daniel understood that they were going to be there for a while, at least a couple of generations. He got that. In verse 10, Jeremiah 29, verse 10, it says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place, the place where Jeremiah was writing from Jerusalem. And Daniel understood that it would be 70 years of captivity. And when Persia took over Babylon, it drove Daniel back to God's word. And he understood that what was happening to him, this takeover, it was foretold. It was already in God's hands. And then we get the next verse. Okay, now this is the famous verse right here, right? You know this verse. You can quote this verse because it's another cute Hobby Lobby verse. Yeah, you know it. Y'all shop at Hobby Lobby? I know. I love the little Christian music playing. I'm like, wow, I could buy all this wall art. It's beautiful. I love it. I love it. Remember last week we talked about be still and know, right? The context of that verse was in the middle of all hell breaking loose. It's true. This verse is kind of the same story. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you, can you finish it? Hope and a future. I knew you knew that one. That's a good one. But here's what God is saying. He's saying, I still have plans for your life, even though you're in the middle of the worst time of your life. And even though the whole world right now is being turned upside down, that would be the message for someone like Daniel. The other part of that promise was for those people that have really made a complete mess out of their lives. And some of us have done that. And God wants to bring you out of that difficult reality that you find yourself in. Now, I know we would all love to claim this verse over our lives, and that's okay. We can do that. We can hang it on the wall. It's no problem. All right? Claim that God has a future for us, but the verse doesn't stop there, and often not included on the beautiful wall art with cute flowers around it that I would love in my living room, okay, is the next verse, verse 12. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Everyone say this, say, then.
Then.
Okay, when?
Then.
Then. When is then? Then is in the middle of captivity. Then is after the consequences have been paid. They've already lived through the hardship. And even after that, they were to call on the Lord at the end of their suffering and in the midst of their suffering and in the middle of a world power turnover. They were to call on the Lord. You know, last week we said, hey, to learn to be still and know, right, that God is in control. That's one of the greatest things you could ever learn in your life. And here's another great thing to learn. Allow life to drive you back to God's word. Allow life to drive you back to God's word, no matter what you're going through. It goes on to say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. That is profound. We don't find God. God finds us. He found us. And yet here he's saying, I'm going to allow myself to be found again by you. He will show up in your life and begin to lead you again. And true to his word, the Lord releases the captives back to the land of Israel. And we get all of that story in Ezra and Nehemiah. But here's how Daniel responded to the Lord when he read these verses and he understood the time he was living in. Daniel 9, verse 3, he says this, so I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Now, how many of you read Jeremiah 29:11 on aisle 12 of Hobby Lobby, and then you fell down on your knees and worshiped like that? Okay, you get my point. The context of this verse is profound, and that is what Daniel did. All right, one, he went back to God's word. Two, he stood his ground in prayer. He gave his whole heart to God as the word commanded him to do, and why he was prepared for that next transition of power to come along, why change didn't surprise him, is because he turned to God's word. He understood the scriptures and he prayed. I'm guessing that Jeremiah's letter might have been Daniel's most prized possession that he had during his whole time in Babylon. I'm guessing that he probably read this letter over and over, and that it provided him with the strength and the comfort that he needed to keep fighting and to get back up and to protect his faith, to fight on in Babylon. Remember that Babylon symbolized the world. And we will be driven to our knees and strengthened to stand up again and again as believers. We will be. The world will drive us. We have to allow life to drive us back to God's word. Chapter 9, verse 4, it says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. This is the true confession that needs to take place in every heart. The fact that we have gone our way and done our own thing, and we have turned away from his commands. Why does he want us to obey his commands so fervently? Why does he want us to do that? Because God has a greater plan in mind that involves all of our lives. Daniel 9, verse 20, he says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill. I love that terminology, right? It's like he wants to take ground. He wants to battle. But while he was doing this, verse 21, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. The angel Gabriel is dispatched from heaven to answer Daniel's prayer. When? As soon as he began to pray, as soon as he set his heart, his whole heart, to turn to the Lord and pray and confess. What does that mean for us today? Well, one thing it means is that we have a connection with heaven. We have a connection with heaven through prayer. That is our connection. And prayer can get answered immediately, just like it did here. But prayer doesn't always get answered immediately. But our prayers are heard. Our prayers are heard by heaven when they are wholehearted. And so Daniel receives an answer that he wasn't even looking to get. He was just on his knees confessing, asking for forgiveness. He was simply being obedient to what Jeremiah's letter said, to what God's word said, which is that we need to seek God wholeheartedly. And he got these revelations he could never have imagined. In fact, the greater plan that God had for the distant future is revealed to Daniel. The entire calendar for the rest of time is laid out in Gabriel's explanation to Daniel. And this revelation is known as the 77s. You may have heard that. Now, we're not going to go into that today. We don't have the time to go into that today. But I just want to say that Daniel chapter 9, where we are, it's arguably one of the most significant, possibly the most significant messianic prophecy in the Old Testament. And the reason is because this prophecy that Daniel got, it starts the clock. Time began ticking down when this prophecy was given, when Gabriel was dispatched to give this understanding to Daniel. It was the clock for the arrival of the Messiah on earth and the final return of the Messiah. So I want you to know the clock has started. The clock is going. And we're saving that for next week. But like I said, we don't have time to waste because the clock is already running for the end to come. We don't know when that is, but it has definitely been started. And we're going to go more into that next week, okay? But since the clock is ticking, it ought to motivate us to take action, right? I'm at Modern Mission and they start the clock and I just start going around running crazy. I got 7 minutes to take the cylinder, rah, you know? But it's that same kind of ambitious desire. It's that same kind of attitude we need to have, knowing that the clock has begun. We need to protect our faith. We need to desperately protect God's word in our lives for such a time as we are living in today. And I just want to encourage you today to treat God's word like Daniel treated Jeremiah's letter. It was precious to him. That God's word would become your most prized possession in life. You know, you have in your hands the same revelations that God gave to all the prophets. Those revelations you carry with you. And that should be a prize. That should be the thing that we protect the most. Our faith comes from that. Jesus said to us in possibly the shortest, most concise parable he ever gave that provides us with our objective in life. Literally, it's one verse, this parable. Matthew 13:44. Listen, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went out and sold all he had just to buy that field." That is how precious God's word must become to our lives. And Jesus said this regarding the end. In Mark 13, he said, "But about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So what should we do? He says, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come." We don't know when that time will come, but we do know that the time has begun. The clock starts in Daniel. And we're going to talk about that next week. So I want you to come back and hear more about the prophecy of the 77s, okay? In closing today, a lot of things in our lives, they're going to cause us to turn in some direction. But we know that in life, our battles are spiritual ones. We have a spiritual battle going on. And these battles drive us to the need to go back and refresh and engage again. That's what I want to encourage you to do if you're going through difficulty today, that you would turn back to God. You would turn back to the Word. You would turn back to prayer. And you would get refreshed and you would engage again this gospel that we have been promised, that we have been given. We can't go back to God's word enough to be refreshed, right? We can't go back to God's word enough. I think about Daniel. If there was a man on earth who shouldn't have to be the one confessing, if there was someone on earth who shouldn't have to be held accountable for the sins of the entire nation, if there were someone who didn't deserve to live the life of a captive, it was Daniel. And yet he humbles himself before the Lord. Now, I am no Daniel. And you are no Daniel. And Daniel was pretty special. He was extraordinary. But how much more should we humble ourselves before the Lord if that's what Daniel did? We ought to do that. The truth is that we're not held captive right now by some foreign nation like he was. But you know and I know that our hearts are still held captive by our sin. And some of us have those things that are holding us captive. The longer you hold on to those things, you know, you start to wear down after a while. So how can we follow Daniel's example and stand our ground and protect our faith? Let me read James 5:16. It says this, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. That's exactly what Daniel did. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Our prayers are effective when they are prayed wholeheartedly. Amen? They are. And by the way, just to take with you this week, this is one of the longest prayers in the Bible. And it would be a great study for you to engage this week at home in Daniel chapter 9 if you want to learn how to pray with all your heart. Study that prayer. Amen? Listen, a sermon isn't really a sermon unless it goes back to the cross. Amen? I want to do that. Let us remember today that Jesus Christ, he came and he gave himself wholeheartedly for you as a sacrifice for our sin. He was the innocent man. He didn't deserve what he got. A lot like Daniel. He was treated like a criminal. He was treated like a captive, but he completely humbled himself and he paid the price for our lives. Why? So that we could come back to life again and live eternally with him. He provided that way to live again. And we have this knowledge and this great privilege to guard the precious faith that we have, the faith that we carry in us. Amen. I want to invite the worship team to come on up, and we're going to close with a song. What is our mission for today? Our mission is to stand our ground, to protect our faith, and to stand up again and again, and to be refreshed by God's word and by our relationship with him, and to go to him in prayer and to plead for God's mercy, praying for forgiveness. That is our duty as Christian followers. The clock is ticking. Time of Christ's return is on the horizon. But he still has plans for your life. Amen? Amen. We're going to talk more about that next week. Let me pray and close us. Father God, just as Daniel prayed, God, you're awesome. We are sinners. God, you are righteous. But we have been unfaithful. God, you are merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled and not listened. We make requests of you, God, in the words of Daniel, not because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, I ask that you would refresh our souls this week. You would help us stand up again and continue to fight for our faith. In your mighty name, amen.